Okay, we're finishing up this Mishnah. Had a discussion. Now let's recap over here. We'll start from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, I already have filled in the blanks over here. If a person said to a woman, be mekadesh to me with a cup of wine, and you find it's a cup of honey, or reverse, be mekadesh me with gold and it's silver, or reversed, etc., etc. Tanakam says, not a kedushin. Finished. Reb Shimon says, if he tricked her for her benefit, it is a kedushin. And we're trying to understand Reb Shimon's position in light of the fact that it contradicts an open Mishnah that talks about in business, we make a business transaction, and you trick the guy for the better, we say that's not a good deal because everybody can back out of it. So the problem was, how do we understand Reb Shimon's position that when the man is Makadisher and he tricks her for something better, Reb Shimon says it's a good kiddushin, while Tanakama says not. We understand the Tanakama's position because he says you got to give her what you say you're giving her. But how do we understand Reb Shimon's position? That was the issue we had yesterday. And we came to the conclusion, point 9, answer number 2 of Rava. The case is as follows. Leah told a shaliach, the woman told a shaliach to receive my kiddushin from Reuven, and she told her in advance, who said that he will be mekadesh me with a silver dinar. Okay? She tells an agent, go to Reuven, and he already told me he's going to be mekadesh me with a silver dinar. And Reuven gives the shaliach a gold dinar. Okay? A gold dinar. So over there, the chachamim say, So what did it mean when the woman, we're calling her Leah here, what do we mean when the woman said, well, the man said he's going to be mekadesh me with a silver dinar. What did she mean? So was she particular about it? Was she insistent to receive a silver dinar? That's the Chachamim's position. A silver dinar, is that all she wants? Reb Shimon says, no, remember this new idea, it's called suggestion. Where when she says silver dinar, he says, listen, you know what? He said he's going to give me a silver, you know, and that's okay by me. Even if he only gives me silver, it's okay. And if he gives me more, that's even better. What does she mean when she's telling the woman, the person, the shaliach, he said he's going to give me a silver dinar? Is she mean to say, and I will only accept a silver dinar? Or saying, and I'm willing to take a silver dinar? This is not the same as when the man is talking straight to her and giving it to her hand and saying, here's a silver dinar, now she takes it. That's not the same as when she's informing somebody else that he says he's giving a silver dinar. So that's how they learned the case. So it's not the classic case as we thought it was originally where the man just hands her over, the man gives the woman, says this is a silver coin and it's a gold coin. And therefore in the notes, I made an amendment. If you look right at the top of the Mishnah, I already put the Mishnah case as follows. A woman told a shliach, go receive my kiddushin from Reuven, who said he'll be mekadesh me with, dot, 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 the next 3 scenarios. She's telling a shliach, receive a kiddushin from the man who says, be mekadesh me with a cup of wine, and we find that it's a cup of honey, or with silver, we find it's gold. That's how we've formulated the case. You see how I've adjusted the Mishnah, and then I've added on below, if you go about, I don't know, 8, 9 lines, you see principles. See over there? Principles. Tanakama says, the woman, what does she mean? She was insistent in receiving what she stated. Even if she received something more valuable, that's not what he means when she said it, she's insistent. Reb Shimon says the woman was merely suggesting that the lower item is acceptable, all the more so something more valuable. That is the machlokas, and that's how we're going to conclude. That's the machlokas of this Mishnah. Good? So let's just look at that last point again. We're going to go over the last point over here. Kegon she'amra hi lishluch. I'm just reviewing again. She told her agent, save a kabeli kiddushi plenty. Go and receive a kiddushin from somebody from me. She'amra li, who said to me, he said to me in advance, he scotched me dirshaka, so I want you to get married to me with a silver dinar. And then when the agent came along, the man gave the agent a gold dinar. So Mar Sarvatanakama holds Kpeda. She's insistent that it has to be, when he told me silver, that's all I want to take is silver. And therefore anything different is not good. Umar Sarv Shimon holds no. And here's the point we have to know. Mare Mokom Hilo. That's the clause of her. Mare Mokom means She's sowing in an acceptable way. That's what he's saying. It's acceptable to me. And there, she didn't mean only, but she's saying, he shall give me silver. You know what? Silver's okay by me. But let's not make sure it's any less than silver. But she wasn't insistent on it. Let's just go over this last note again. We could skip a little bit. Start from about seven lines in. The dispute between the Tanakh and Rav Shimon thus revolves on how we should interpret the woman's mention of this fact that he said he's going to marry me with silver to the agent. Is she implying she wished to accept only silver from her betrother? Is she merely relating to the agent that this man once told her? He said to me, he'll be mekashe with silver. If the latter idea is correct, what she is really doing is letting the agent know that she is going to accept even silver, less precious metal. She's in effect telling him, even if the betrother gives you only silver, take it from him. She would certainly not object to gold. She's just telling him, he told me yesterday it's going to be mekadesh with silver. So she's just showing him, okay, that's what he's saying. That's the minimum I'm willing to accept. And then we could say, maybe she's only relating the fact to the shliach. Obviously, what if the shliach would give her copper? He said, well, that's below what I'm willing to accept. Right? But he gets more, that's not a problem. Which it seems from the Gemara's understanding, as opposed to, if the man gave her directly and said it was silver, well then she's assuming it's only gonna be silver, because that's what he's giving her right now. Okay? Then we could say, maybe she only wants silver. But is she relating what the guy, what she's telling somebody else is gonna happen? So then we are open to say, maybe it's only a suggestion of what she's willing to take. This is the answer, and that's how we learn the machlokas.
But we don't, how would we know that she's not willing to accept copper? How do we know that?
Well, no one's going to be willing to take less.
No, but what if...
No one takes less.
The amount of copper is more than...
That's not a dinar. Then that's more than a dinar. A dinar is a weighted measure. A dinar of silver and a dinar of copper aren't worth the same. So now the Gemara is still left with one last remember, he asked three technical questions on the first explanation that rejected. There's one technical question left. The Mishnah said the word, and it was found to be gold. What's found means after it was received. How can we say it was found if the shliach saw it right away? Umay nimtza. What do you mean nimtza? How do we say it was found, right? If he handed it to the agent, right? When he handed it, he didn't tell him what it was. He just handed it to him. So how does it comes up? We find out. And so you have to say to Kotsar B'Vlas, you have to say it was wrapped up in a rag. In other words, when the guy gave it to the agent, it was wrapped up in a rag or in a bag, whatever. Then when it comes back to the lady, okay, here, I got it from him. Okay, now it's found. So at least we took care of that technical point. Anyway, bottom line, that is the machlokas of the Mishnah. We're not speaking in a case where the man gave it to her directly. In that case, if it's any change, it's not acceptable. Oh, this case, it was an agent was told in advance. He told me he's going to marry with silver. To that, we've already opened up a machlokas of interpretation. What did she mean when she said that to the agent? Is that the minimal amount or not? Gemara now is going to say this is not the only place we have this concept where when somebody says something, it doesn't necessarily mean they're particular about it. And the Gemara now goes a little bit beyond the main topic over here, taking a side thing a little bit. Amar Abaye made the following statement. Based on the fact that Rav Shimon says, when the woman mentions to the agent about the silver, it's only a mara makom. Mara makom is showing a way of fulfilling the mission, that a minimal acceptance. So Abaye now says, I want you to know, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Elazar Kula Svirlo, these three rabbis, Rav Shimon that we just talked about, Rav Shimon Gamliel that we're going to teach you about, and Rav Elazar that we're going to teach you about, they all hold this same idea in particular cases of Mare Makom Hulo, that one, we have cases where a person is telling an agent what's acceptable for them. In other words, we're going to see in other areas in halacha where we apply this same principle, that what the person said, he's merely showing him a way of an acceptable way of doing it, but it's not the only way of doing it. Now, clearly, that's what he's saying in 34. If, however, the agent decides to perform his task in a different, more difficult way, it's still carried out. In other words, there are times when a person tells you to do something, because he doesn't want you to work so hard. But if you as an agent want to work harder, you can't have any complaints. If I tell you to do something in an easy way, what if you do it the harder way? Well, if you, I didn't want to bother you so much. So that we could say that the agent has still fulfilled his agency.
It's the opposite way. It's that if you find that it's too difficult, then you can execute it another way.
No, he has still carried it out.
Knows.
The sender is essentially telling the agent, here is an easy way to carry out my agency. If you find that it's too difficult for you to execute it enough, if you find it too difficult,
yeah.
Another. So he's saying, I'm giving you the easiest way.
Right.
So now what if the agent does a harder way? Then it's for sure okay.
No, it says if you find it too difficult.
No, you had to read. Here is an easy way to carry out the agency.
Right.
It's the minimum way I want you to do it.
Right.
Because if you find that it's too difficult, if you accept another way, you could do it in this way, the minimal way. That's what it means.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
So now, when I tell you to do it a certain way,
yeah.
It doesn't mean this is the only way I want you to do it. I'm telling you this is the easiest way. If you want to do the harder way, the harder way. So the same thing he's saying. The man said to me, he's going to marry me with silver. You know what? I'm giving him the easiest way off, telling the agent. I'm giving him the easy way off because he's only giving me silver. Telling you, he's giving you, that's the least you should take. That's the least. That's all she means. You're my agent. I'm not there. So you have to be my eyes and my ears and my everything. So I'm giving you general guidance. The guidance is he said silver. So at least one thing, don't take less than silver. He's going to give you more than silver. Listen, and also don't go to the guy and say, "Well, you're only giving her silver? You know, I'm not going to take it from you. You should at least give her gold." You understand the point?
Yeah.
You're making an agent. Agent has to make some, as they say, audibles on the line. You got to, you know, when the agent comes, you know, that's an instrument of a clever agent and not a, some agent say, "Well, you only told me to do this." Remember the Gemara in Gittin, the woman, it was times of hunger in Yerushalayim. And there was a shortage of food, so she sent her maidservant, go buy some fine white bread. She comes back and says, they don't have fine white bread. Okay, get the next level. So she sends the next one, says, they don't have the next level, but they have the... So it's kept going on. The agent was so stupid, like, at least take something. Bring back some food. Right? So agents aren't necessarily so smart. You gotta realize, when you appoint an agent, they gotta be careful. They have to work on your behalf, but they're not you. So therefore, when I'm telling the agent, listen, the man told me he's going to give me a silver dinar. So what did she mean to say? Listen, this is the guidance I'm giving you. Silver dinar. Now what happens? What happens if the agent's there, and the guy gives her a copper one? Well, the agent goes, I don't know. What am I supposed to do now? Well, she told me silver. So what does that mean? So we're saying that silver means that's the least I'll take. Okay, now, if what happens instead, the guy gives her gold, what's the agent supposed to think? Well, she told me silver. What does he mean by silver? Well, that means when you're telling an agent, you see, you got to give parameters. So that is meant as the lower parameter. It's different than if the man gives the woman directly and says, this is silver. Well, that's a whole different story. Then this is what you give me. This is what, then we know they only want the silver. But if I'm telling an agent, then I'm giving, saying in ways to say if it's the minimal way to do this. So now we're going to see two other opinions. So now he said three people say this idea. Reb Shimon, hold on, Reb Shimon, we just learned him. He's in the Mishnah. Let's go to the next one. Reb Shimon Gamliel. Who's Reb Shimon Gamliel? Titnan, we learn in the Mishnah in Baba Basra, moving on to the next page, 49a. Now, we gotta explain over here. Give you a little introduction. There are two different, if a man wants to divorce a woman, he has to write her out a get.
Yeah.
There are two types of getin that can be written. One is called a get pashut, which means an open document. That's the standard get that you and I know of, where the lines are written, everything's written. And at the very bottom, two signatures of two witnesses is straightforward. That's called get pashut, an open document, and the witnesses are inside, as it were, on the paper. That's a simple document. Now, there's another type of get called a get mikushar, a tied-up document. Now, it's a little bit complicated. You don't have to know it perfectly because we don't do this anymore. But in the case where a Kohen was divorcing his wife, some rabbis were particular that, you know, a Kohen, when he divorces his wife, it's a big bigger deal. Why? Because when a man divorces his wife, a regular man, he could remarry her if he wants to take her back if she hasn't married another man in between. A Kohen, once he divorces his wife, finished. Game's over. So when a Kohen divorces his wife, we kind of want to draw it out a little bit. It's take longer to write the divorce because maybe he'll back out while they're still writing the divorce. You should know when a divorce is given, it's a very emotional time. And even at the last minute, the rabbi said, are you sure you want to divorce the woman? And sometimes they say, no, I changed my mind. So therefore, by a Kohen, we want him to take it much longer to write the divorce so he might change his mind. So what do? You write the divorce in a real crazy way. We'd never write a document this way. We're only doing it to delay it. You write a line, you skip a line. You write a line, you skip a line, all the way to the bottom. Then you fold over the document, over the empty space, so it becomes like an accordion type of document. And not only that, but every fold has to be sewn, one part of the fold to the other. So you're taking a piece of paper, you're doing it in a very... Not practical way, but because you want it, it'll probably take an extra 3 hours to do this. So you want more time for the coin to reconsider. At the end of the day, you've tied up the document within itself. You've made it like an accordion, and then these witnesses, they can't sign it in the paper because the whole paper's been crunched up. They sign it on top of the paper, on top. You know what I mean? So definitely. Both of them are 100% kosher gets. 100% kosher gets. Question is, one's a lot harder to do than the other. So I think you're going to begin to understand what's going to be happening now. What if I send you as an agent to divorce my wife? Or you're the cipher. You're the cipher, the scribe. I say, okay, I want you to write a get to my wife. What if now, what kind of get did I tell you to write? The simple get or the harder get? So what if I tell the guy to write the simple get and he writes the harder get? Is it, now remember, if you're my agent, you don't listen to me, maybe it's not good agency. So the question is, if I ask him to write a simple get, he writes a harder get, is he going to say, no, I want a simple get, you didn't listen to me? Or was he giving him just I don't want to make it too hard for you, make it a simple get. But when he makes it a harder get, you see that same idea is going to come out over here. So let's look inside now. The Mishnah says, get poshut, an open document divorce. What do we know about it? Eight of mitochov. The witnesses are inside the get. It's on the same paper, exactly where the document is. Mikushar. There's another get called Mikushar. It's a bound document. The way I already explained to you, so you can skip all the footnotes below, that the witnesses sign from the outside, because you've bound up the whole document. There's no room inside for them to sign. They sign it on the top. Fine. These are the two types of getting. Now, what if... Now the guy wrote... Let's say the guy wrote a pashut. The first part's not germane to our shiloh, but it's just a mishnah. So we're going to learn the whole mishnah. So let's say the guy wrote a get pashut. He wrote a simple document, but the witnesses signed it not on this side of the document, but they flipped it over and signed it on the back side of the document. So pashut shekasvo edav machorav. So let's say a regular document, but the witnesses signed it on the outside, which is not the way it's supposed to be done. Umukushar, and a tied up document, shekasvo edav mitocho. The witnesses signed it on the inside before it got sewed up. It's on the inside. Both of those, shneim psum. They're both not kosher. Okay, that's just an interesting halacha, and that's not germane to us. Okay, that's still one long mission over here. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Chanina ben Gamliel says, Mekushar shekasvu eid of mitocho kosher. A document written in bound format whose witness is signed on the inside is valid. Alright? Now he disagrees with them. He disagrees with them. He said, right inside it's okay. Sheyuchal lasa swash. Because really, if you want to, you could take up all the things, open it all up, and then it'll be fine. So it's a machlokis. If they wrote it, they signed it in the wrong place. Is it okay or not? Fine. That's not the important issue over here. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. Shimon Gamliel says, Hakol k'minig ha-medina. Everything is like the custom of the country. Okay? Now, look at the notes. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel introduced an issue not specifically addressed by the previous Tanoim. As Gemara first understands this ruling, how do we think the Mishnah reads? Is this, when a person instructs an agent to draft a document, but gives him no specific instruction as to where the document is to be written in opened or bound form, I say, go do me a favor, write a divorce for my wife. So now, well, which way do you want me to write? He didn't tell. And the agent wasn't smart enough to ask him at the time. So what Rav Shimon Hillel seems to be saying is, so the agent must draft the document according to the custom of the land. That's it. He says everything's according to the land. Meaning to say, if the custom land is to write open documents, he must make the document an open one. If the custom land is to write bound documents, I guess maybe even in some places, even not for a Kohen, they would make a bound document to take longer. He must make the document a bound one. Now, what if the agent deviates from these norms? Then the document drafts will be invalid, right? And therefore, it won't be a divorce. So that seems to be what Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking about. That seems to be what he's saying, which is a little bit different than what was before. Before we're talking about when the witnesses are signing and where they're signing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the Mishnah. Then the Gemara wants to understand the Mishnah. V'havinan ba, and the Gemara over there asks some questions in analyzing that Mishnah. So, it seems, because remember, three rabbis are listed. Rabbi number one talks about, well, you sign it this way, sign it that way, you can't sign it the other way. Rabbi number two says, well, if you sign it the other way, it's okay. Comes along, Rabbi Gamliel, is another name being added. It's a third name, seeming they're all arguing with each other. But what are they arguing about? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel seems talking about something different altogether. Everything goes according to the custom of the place. So Gemara asks, so then I don't understand, how does the first rabbi arguing on the last rabbi, they don't seem to be talking the same language. Ravina the Gemara asks the question, trying to understand Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's statement, because of the case of Itana Kama, doesn't the first rabbi subscribe to the idea that everything goes according to the custom of the land? Who would argue that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's name is put in there? Why would there seem to be any kind of machlokes? Right? Because once you put a name in a Mishnah, it seems the previous people are arguing on it. Who would argue on the case everything goes according to the custom of the land? So more now is troubled to have to fetch choice a machloikis over here. So they have to add, the Gemara adds, V'omer Ravashi. Ravashi says, this is how we have to learn the machloikis. We're speaking about Ba'asra, it's a country, the Nehigi Bepashat. The custom was you write an open document. Okay? And then what? That was the custom. V'ovid le'makusher, and the agent made a bound document. Okay? So what happened? The agent did, made it harder on himself. Okay, Inami, or let's say, but Asin Hivik Mukusher, let's say it was a place where the custom was to make it bound, which is harder, Vavid Le Pasha, and he made it less. Well, in each case, the agent clearly did not listen to the owner, the husband, right?
To the owner, to the custom of the land.
Well, and to what
the owner didn't
good to what the, right to the custom of the land, and then and obviously the owner would go according to the custom as well. Anyway, everyone agrees if the custom is this way and not that way, and he did it the other way. Either way, kuliyam lokli. There's no machlokas. Devarei kveda, because certainly the husband's going to be insistent because that's the custom of the land. So there's no machlokas if the custom is the custom. Since when can an agent go against the custom? So when is the machlokas? And this is how the Gemara interprets it. Keep Ligi, when do they argue? But Asra, the Nehigi, Bembapash, Bembakusher, where the custom is either one. There is no custom. There is no custom. Some do it this way, some do it that way. There's absolutely no custom. You know, for every 100 gittin that are written, 50 people write it one way, 50 people write it another way. People didn't, you know, there is no particularity over there. That's, the custom is that there is no custom. Right? So now, the machlok is in a case where the agent, in a place where there is no custom, now the husband tells the agent the following. For Amar Leh, in a place where there is no custom, remember, if there's a custom and the guy tells him to do like the custom, then there's no reason to think at all it should be different. But it looks like either way. And then the husband says, Ovid Lepashut, make me an easy one. The straight one, the open one. And then the agent comes along for Azal Ovid Lepashut. Now he makes the bound up one, which is harder. That's where there's a machlokes, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and the Tanakama. Mar Sabra, the Tanakama is going to hold. Since the owner told him, write me up an open one, even though there's no custom, but since he said that, Kapeda, he is particular that he wants an open one. Umar Sabra, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, when he said, write me an open one, even though it could be both ways, what was he really telling him? Maramakam, who he's just showing him an acceptable way of doing it. In other words, to say, write me an open one. Why? Because that's the easiest one for you to do. I don't want to trouble you. That's what he means. Let's look at the footnote. Since the Kazalan is to draft either type of document, Rav Shimon Gamliel contends that there's no reason to assume that the center wanted an open one specifically. We assume that it was an effect on the agent. You need not draft anything more complicated than an open document. I do not require of you that you draft a bound one. When the agent, in fact, writes a bound document, then he has naturally violated the terms of agency. According to Gemara's conclusion, when Rav Shimon Gamliel states that the agent must do everything according to the custom of the land, he's actually giving the agent greater leeway. He means that the agent may write the document in whatever way he chooses, since the custom is either way. So that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel means when he says that. So the Gemara has now shown that Rav Shimon Gamliel subscribes to the general principle of Mare Mokamulo. When a person instructs his agent to perform a task in a relatively easy way, the agent does not violate his mandate if he performs the task in a more difficult way. That's the second one. And we're going to leave. And there's still one more to go. You want to do one more?
Yeah.
You want another 5 minutes?
Yeah, let's have a question.
Right?
Then you forget about it.
It's okay. Go ahead.
I don't get, like, at the end of the day, the get suffices a purpose. Whether it's open or bound, it suffices a purpose. So who really cares? No, it has a valid get suffices a purpose, unless it's a matter of paying the sofer more or less for the
Maybe that.
But in the engagement, in the kedushin, she wanted sofer, she got gold. Like, maybe she had this affinity for sofer, she wanted sofer. But again, it doesn't really matter. Again, the day, it gives her a gap. Bound or open doesn't matter in divorce. So who cares?
Well, he has to follow these. It could be for whatever reason he wanted the get process to take longer. It is longer. We'd have to think of reasons why he would want the process to be longer. Maybe he himself wants time to change his mind. I don't know, but it is a longer. Again, you know, thank God you haven't been at a get, so you don't know what goes on during get. It's an extremely volatile and emotionally disturbing situation that, thank God, we don't know what it's like. So therefore, there's a big difference if you write one get over the other. It's more hours of torment. The woman's sitting there, she's bawling her eyes out, and it's an extra 3 hours of bawling her eyes out. The guy goes, I never meant for you to put it
right.
Yeah, you gotta be there the whole time. It's not so simple. There's a whole thing going on over there.
And how you get a couple.
Yeah, well, at least in the room next door. When they do a get now, that they're there while, because they don't do anything till it's, you have to have all the parties there. So it's a very emotional guy. Because what did you do that for? I want a divorce, but you had to put her through that for so long. I never wanted you to do it that way.
So the agent is actually described. That's what they mean, right?
Well, no, not necessarily he's described either. You go and hire a scribe.
So, but the guy is there. The guy who wants to get divorced is there.
No, well, not usually in a typical case. But if you're sending an agent, he's obviously not there.
So he's not there.
But the agent has to be there with the woman and the scribe.
Right.
So then that's a longer period of time of stretching out this divorce process.
The onus is on the agent to follow the instructions.
Well, exactly. We would assume, but it's a more But on the other hand, it's a more difficult maybe. But on the other hand, maybe it's more compassionate. So there's different ways of
that, the agent.
This different. Well, he doesn't know. He didn't tell me how to do it. That's the problem. When he told me, do the symbol, and I'll make it easier for you. Okay, maybe certain places they felt it was a more of a hidur, a more beautification of the mitzvah for that. We'd have to know more about the laws of getting over here. But clearly, it's harder to do one than the other. The agent did the harder one, so the owner could say, listen, that's still okay by Mr. Milman. Okay, we'll leave the third example for tomorrow.